News Team coverage. 94.9 WSJM News Now.
Brought to you by the Town Crier Wire. You can download that free local news app today. The Michigan legislature has approved a K-12 education budget. State Representative Beth Griffin of Mattawan tells us the $15.2 billion plan increases education funding by 2.4%. She says there was broad bipartisan support for the plan.
You know, the really cool thing here is that we worked together with the House Dems, and the vote of HB 4242 with record funding levels was overwhelmingly approved, over 90 votes for this budget.
Griffin says the education budget includes $510 million for at-risk students, $10 million in school security grants, a $240 per student increase, and more for CTE classes.
Our plan increases CTE allocation to $50 per student and includes an additional $16 million in equipment grants to make the specialized education CTE programs possible.
Griffin says with bipartisan support, if the governor wants to veto this budget, she'll have to explain it to both parties. The plan now heads straight to the governor, as the Senate has also approved it. How will the United Auto Workers strike against General Motors affect the West Michigan economy? Grand Valley State University economist Dr. Brian Long tells us this side of the state does have several Tier 1 suppliers for the big automakers.
Some of our companies are supplying General Motors, but for most of them, it's just a percentage of their output.
Long says as a result, they're not hurting too much. West Michigan auto suppliers learned from previous strikes and downturns not to put all their eggs in one basket.
We have a lot of our plants that have diversified their customer base. At one time, we had companies that only supplied GM or only supplied Ford, and after this last fiasco or whatever, most of them were smart enough to say, now we got to diversify our business.
Long says if the strike at GM continues for long enough, it could caused some temporary layoffs in West Michigan, but for now, it's not causing major problems. As for how long that strike will continue, he says much depends on the personalities. Nearly 80 animals are now in the care of Berrien County Animal Control after they were seized this week from a home in Hager Township. Berrien County Animal Control Director Tiffany Peterson tells us a warrant was obtained and executed yesterday at the property after authorities received multiple complaints. She says there was one woman living at a home with 77 animals, mostly small dogs, but also some cats. The animals were being kept in crates. She described it as a hoarding situation that had been a problem for some time. The animals have been examined by a vet and are now at Berrien County Animal Shelter, about doubling their load. Peterson says they can't be adopted until the case against the woman is processed. Anyone who wants to help with a donation for the animals can contact Berrien County Animal Control. More than 150 people attended the 67th annual meeting of the Berrien Community Foundation in St. Joseph last night, and it was there that several grants and awards were announced. Berrien Community Foundation President Lisa Cripps Downey tells us the new Alamar Nonprofit Sustainability Grant of $75,000 was announced for St. Joseph today.
So it's a grant that is not for a new program, but it really is for operational support for a nonprofit organization.
She says the grant was started when an anonymous donor saw nonprofit employees working long hours for lower pay and often without benefits. The $75,000 over 3 years for St. Joe Today will help to provide employees with retirement and long-term health care benefits. Also, Cripps Downey says the 2019 Golden Acorn Award for Arts Innovation was presented to the Ghostlight Theater in Benton Harbor.
Ghostlight is just this wonderful new addition to our community. We really wanted to recognize how they took this abandoned building and changed it into a place where theater and music and art abound.
That award comes with a $4,000 grant. The Golden Acorn Award for Volunteerism, meanwhile, went to Carol Olnhafen, a 30-year BCF volunteer. Cripps Downey says the meeting was also recapped. A recap of the past year, as BCF announced $8.1 million in grants and scholarships were awarded by the organization in 2018. Michigan State Police are holding a recruitment seminar in Van Buren County next month. MSP Trooper Kelly Schaefer out of the Paw Paw Post tells us the two-hour session will give those who are interested an idea of what it takes to be a state police trooper.
To provide an overall synopsis of our process, what is MSP and why are we different from our local partners, and give them the information and the tools that they may need in order to decide whether or not this is a career for them.
Schaefer says the state police are hiring blitz continues. use.
So we're looking to make sure that when the retirements come about, we have replacements that can backfill and continue to do the service and the job that we do as troopers for our Michiganders.
Almost anyone over the age of 21 can be a Michigan State Police trooper. You must have no felonies, a good driving record and credit history, and a high school diploma or a GED. Schaefer says it's a great career option that can enable someone to live all over the state. The recruitment seminar will be Saturday, October 19th at the Van Buren Conference Center in Lawrence from 10 a.m. to noon. You can call the State Police Post in Niles to register. Officials in South Haven are hoping to increase safety and encourage economic development with a road diet that they're giving to Business Loop 196. South Haven Public Works Director Bill Hunter tells us they're going to repaint the lines on the road to take it from two lanes in each direction to one lane with a center turn lane. The road diet concept's been increasingly applied in communities all over Michigan.
There's a lot of benefits, actually, to road diets. They've been going on for the past 10 or 15 years statewide. You see a lot of benefits, safety benefits, as well as benefits towards the city for economic purposes as well.
How about concerns the lane reduction will lead to traffic backups?
You can't design roadways for, like you said, one day a year or 2 days a year. There are going to be backups. Right now, there's backups actually on the corridor on certain days of the year with five lanes as there would with three.
Hunter says with a turn lane, those making left turns won't have to cross two lanes of traffic or worry about traffic coming up behind them as they're waiting. The $178,000 project should be finished by October. There's been an arrest in a Chickaming Township armed robbery last month. The Chickaming Township Police Department says 42-year-old David Floyd was arrested in Indiana yesterday. He's their suspect in the robbery of the Whistle Stop store on Red Arrow Highway August 23rd. He's also suspected in several other armed robberies around southwest Michigan and northern Indiana. Floyd is in police custody now, but there's no word yet on whether he'll be sent back to Michigan to face those local charges. And Congressman Fred Upton is hoping to support FIRST Robotics programs around the country with a new commemorative coin. He tells us the vote was expected to take place today.
This is a bill that I introduced earlier this year. We have more than 300 co-sponsors. Obviously, it's bipartisan. This will, at no cost to the Treasury, will produce a coin that's sold in the private sector, of which the profits then will go to FIRST Robotics.
The Christa McAuliffe Commemorative Coin Act of 2019 directs the Department of Treasury to mint and issue 350,000 $1 silver coins in commemoration of Christa McAuliffe, a teacher killed in the Space Shuttle Challenger. The money will go to FIRST Robotics. Upton says it teaches young people valuable CTE skills. WSJM News Now continues with your Bloomberg Report. WSJM News Now continues. The Trump administration is defending its decision to revoke a federal waiver that enabled California to set stricter standards for vehicle emissions, insisting the move would ultimately produce far less expensive and safer cars.
The EPA on Thursday officially revoked a federal waiver that enabled California to set stricter standards for vehicle emissions. Secretary of Transportation Elaine Chao.
No state has the authority to opt out of the nation's rules. And no state has the right to impose its policies on everybody else in our whole country.
California vows to fight the decision in court. Inez de la Quintera, ABC News, Washington.
The chairman of the House Intelligence Committee says he cannot confirm a press report that a whistleblower's complaint concerned a promise that President Trump made on a phone call to a foreign leader. The Intelligence Community's Inspector General appeared before the committee behind closed doors today, but Democratic Representative Adam Schiff of California says he declined to tell the panel the substance of the complaint. The Pentagon says the U.S. military is working with Saudi Arabia to find ways to provide more protection for the northern part of that country following a drone and missile attack on the kingdom's oil industry. Air Force Colonel Pat Ryder, a spokesperson for the joint staff, told Pentagon reporters yesterday that U.S. Central Command is talking with the Saudis about ways to mitigate future attacks. Canada's prime minister is apologizing amid a growing scandal over wearing dark makeup. Here's ABC's Brian Clark.
A 2001 yearbook photo shows Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, then a teacher, in brownface at an Arabian Nights party. Reports of several other incidents have emerged, and Trudeau Thursday said he does not remember all of them, but...
Darkening your face, regardless of the context or the circumstances, is always unacceptable.
The 47-year-old up for re-election next month said in Winnipeg,
"What I did, the choices I made, hurt people who thought I was an ally.
Trudeau said it was a dumb thing to do. Brian Clark, ABC News.
The news about vaping doesn't get any better. A new study published in the New England Journal of Medicine says more high school seniors are using the electronic cigarettes.
1 in 4 high school seniors vapes, according to this study by the University of Michigan. That's 25%, up from 21% last year. The new numbers come as the CDC says 16% of the people suffering lung injuries related to vaping are about the age of high school seniors or younger. Dr. Ann Schuchat is deputy director of the CDC.
No consistent e-cigarette or vaping product, substance, additive, or brand has been identified in all cases.
More than 500 cases of lung injuries are now linked to vaping. Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
Governor Greg Abbott has declared 13 counties disaster areas after heavy rain and flooding from the remnants of Tropical Storm Imelda swamped parts of southeast Texas. Chambers County Sheriff Brian Hawthorne says emergency personnel today completed more than 300 high water rescues in the town of Winnie, about 60 miles east of Houston. And a recently fired Saturday Night Live cast member has returned to stand-up and made jokes about President Trump being shot. Here's ABC's Jason Nathanson.
Shane Gillis is jumping from controversy to controversy days after being fired from Saturday Night Live over using racial slurs in the past. Gillis returned to the stand-up stage Wednesday night and took aim at President Trump. According to reports, he said that of all the presidents he's been alive for, Trump would definitely be the funniest to see get shot. He said he's not asking for that to happen, but it would be funny because Trump would see the shooter coming at him and tell him to sit down, and he'd make a funny noise when he got hit. Gillis was supposed to make his SNL debut this season, but was fired before that happened. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
WSJM News Now continues with your weather forecast brought to you by Radio Obsessed.